Well, first of all, I think we have to be very careful in interpreting the numbers, and I think the story is different in every one of those countries. Our information and our interpretation of the numbers based both on field realities and what we hear from other sources is that the declines are definitely real in Liberia. They're probably real in Sierra Leone, and they're very uncertain as to their meaning in Guinea. So in terms of what the causes are of the reductions in Liberia, where we're very confident that this is a real reduction, it's primarily, in our view, because people, communities, have really gotten an understanding of the disease and decided to take action. And we see that at every level, at the level of the government, but also at the level of local administration and even at the level of villages. And we think that the similar dynamic is occurring in Sierra Leone.
What would you say the story is in Guinea?
So in Guinea, and I should be honest that the IRC doesn't have a presence there at the moment, though we worked there for 19 years, so have a lot of contacts in the country and a good understanding, I feel, of the underlying dynamic. But in Guinea, there's real questions about how real those numbers are. You'll have to remember that the whole epidemic in the three countries really flared up because the international community and WHO and Doctors Without Borders declared the epidemic over because there were no infections for 21 days. And in fact, what was happening was not that there weren't cases, but that they were being hidden. And the same dynamic that caused that epidemic to burn underground without being reported is still in place, meaning that people still do not trust the government. They still don't trust international organizations. And so we need a lot more confidence in the numbers before we really believe that there's actually a reduction.
What would you say then, based on this information, is the biggest or some of the biggest lessons learned in fighting this largest outbreak of Ebola?
One of the biggest lessons for Ebola is that you can't separate politics and public health. It's very important for public health professionals to understand that issues such as trust in the system, trust in the government, trust in the public health services is a vital element of our work. If we persist in looking at technical fixes, for example, of saying we're just going to do more training so that people know how to do surveillance, we're missing the key element of do people believe what they're being told on the radio or by government officials. And we really have to work on that. And obviously, we can't work on it just when there's an epidemic. We have to be able to view that as part of our work and part of the thing that we measure, which is how much trust there is in the system. And then we have to go and do things that build trust in the system. To some extent, we know what those things are. They're not easy to do, but they're also not impossible.
What would be an example of a measure that needs to be put into place going forward?
First of all, there needs to be regular payment of salaries to frontline health officials. Because in all three countries, one of the reasons for the lack of trust is that clinic workers, public health officials aren't paid regularly and they find other ways to earn a living. And those ways sometimes include corruption, sometimes they include working on the side or moonlighting. And those ways all end up undermining the public trust. So it's really essential that key people in the public health infrastructure, and that includes nurses and managing officials, have a regular salary that allows them to live and that allows them to focus on their job.
Also, what role do people need to play, people living in these communities that were affected? What do they need to do going forward in terms of maybe changing their lifestyle?
That's a tough question because it's different in different places. I think many of the lifestyle changes that Ebola has forced, such as burial practices, for example, and caring for sick people, are not inherently public health risks. They're only really risks during an Ebola epidemic. So I think it's important that we not offer sweeping changes when really those aren't justified in the long term. I think the key element, to be frank, is less the change in people's behaviors than an increase in trust between people and the government. And obviously, the government and international agencies can do a lot to increase that trust. At the same time, we have to recognize that some of the problems and some of the lack of trust is caused not just by government actions, but also a tendency to believe conspiracies and also the kind of rise of what you might call bad leaders, people who stoke their neighbors and their communities towards violence. And I think it's important for people to be wise about who they listen to and who they allow to represent them.